Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
What are we getting on punt? Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. I am John Schmelk with you for the next 1 hour on this very cold Friday afternoon in New York City, talking New York Giants football, free agency, the draft, the combine coming up next week, all of the above, and boy, it is cold outside. But luckily we are warm in here, and we'll talk some football, keep that football hot stove cooking as we talk some Giants football. And as I said a couple days ago, Lance did the show yesterday, had a couple good guests on, did a fantastic job. I'm going to try to continue with this position series heading into the combine because I think some things will change after next week. We'll shift focus to free agency for a couple weeks before we head back to the draft once we get to the middle to the end of March. So the two positions I want to focus on today are two positions that some people think are big needs for the Giants, others do not, and I think there are some interesting ways to break down where the Giants need to go in both spots and what they need to do. And I want to start on the defensive side of the ball only because it seems like at the postseason press conferences with Tom Coughlin, Jerry Reese, and John Mara, there was a bit of a consensus that the Giants do need to get better on the defensive side of the ball. And this is a position I know Giant fans for the past 3 or 4 years, having hosted this show, are very excited to get better at, and that's at the linebacker position. And I think the Giants already took some good steps in that direction the last couple of years. Adding John Beeson 2 years ago was certainly a boon. Now with his injuries once again cropping up, we'll see what type of factor he might be moving forward. Can you depend on him? That could very well determine whether or not the Giants have to move quickly, hard, and fast to try to get him in a linebacker and to provide some level of insurance in case John Beeson's injury history continues to be a problem. Jameel McClain was a capable backup for John Beeson last year, and he played some outside linebacker as well. He's very solid. You know what you're going to get. He's a smart player. He's a heady player. He's a good leader in the locker room, so you know what you're getting. Now, Devon Kennard is somebody that can help that position for a long time coming. As Perry Fuel said towards the end of last season, he has the potential to be that very solid to better than that Sam linebacker in the 4-3. A guy that can line up, blitz the quarterback, do a good job against the run. Kennard's a strong guy. He's very stout. That comes from playing on the line at USC for a couple years as a pass rusher. And he can also play some middle linebacker in a pinch as well. Now, where he needs to get better is as a coverage guy, where he can go back, follow tight ends, cover running backs out of the backfield. That's where he needs to improve, and he knows that, and that's where he wants to get better. And that's really what makes Devon Kennard such a good football player, is that he focuses on certain things he wants to improve at, takes a look at it, and goes about very specific ways to get better in that area. And that's what Devon Kennard is going to do this offseason. He's a good kid. He's a hard worker. He battled some injuries his rookie year. He missed the final game of the season. I think it was with a foot injury, and then he had the hamstring earlier on in the season. So those are the things you look at linebacker. So what do the Giants need to do? One, they're going to have to make a decision on Jaquan Williams. He's been on this team a while now. He is a free agent. We know about his athleticism, his speed, his ability to cover. All that's great. But the Giants now will have to decide whether or not and to what level they would want to commit to him. And is another team out there going to give a larger commitment than the Giants might? So they'll have to make a decision on Jaquan Williams. Let's say, theoretically, you go into next season with John Beeson, and again, injuries, who knows what he's going to be able to give you, Devon Kennard and Jameel McClain. I think you have a couple of needs you need to address, whether it's in free agency or the draft. One is some insurance for Beeson. And McClain provides veteran insurance, but I think you want to get somebody maybe a little bit younger that can be that middle linebacker of the future to play next to Devon Kennard. So if you look in the draft, and you know, this is one thing about the draft in recent years, folks, and I don't think it's going to change much moving forward because of the nature of these college football offenses. And I got to say, I have finished pretty much all my draft prep except for the cornerback position. So I'll finish that this afternoon, and I got to put it all into, you know, more legible form here, because this is a mess right now. But there are not a lot of prototypical thumping middle linebackers out there anymore. That's going to be a three-down player. You know, there aren't Luke Kuechly's growing on trees in college these days. There just aren't. A lot of these guys that play middle linebacker in college are small, and they're going to struggle transitioning to the NFL and playing that position there. Mike Mayock came out with his top five list at each position the other day. He had the TCU kid, Paul Dawson, who I've gotten calls about before, as his top middle linebacker. I've seen other people say, you know what, I'm not sure he could play middle linebacker in the pros. He might have to play Will, where he's not covered up, and he's going to be able to run free and not get blocked. So there's a question as to whether or not he can do it. Mike Mayock predicted Shaq Thompson as a safety. I saw one unnamed scout say that at one point during the football season last year, Shaq Thompson was 219 pounds. Guess what? You can't play linebacker, let alone middle linebacker, at 219 pounds. You have Eric Kendricks, an inside linebacker at UCLA that most people think will be more of a 4-3 outside linebacker than an inside linebacker. So who's going to be the thumper in the middle that's going to come in and be that middle linebacker in the draft? Denzel Perryman is somebody that was brought up on the show the other day. I like him as a first and second down defender. I'm not sure he's going to be able to defend the pass on third down, so he's someone that's going to have to come off the field. And that will bring me to my next Giants need in just a second. McKinney out of Mississippi State, he's a guy that can play the middle, but again, he's a liability versus the pass. So you don't have that complete guy that has the size to thump against the run and then has the speed to cover from that middle linebacker spot. You just don't see him coming out of college much. And then you take a look at some of the guys in free agency. You know, Brandon Spikes is somebody that's good against the run. Rolando McClain is actually a player that played all three downs for Dallas. He's athletic enough to cover, and he can play the run. So he's actually a guy that is versatile enough to do both. Jasser Brinkley is a player that a lot of people like. Larry Foote is on the older side. David Harris is a guy that is a lot of people believe is past his prime. I haven't done enough work on him yet to see what he's done with the Jets the last couple of years. I kept an eye on him, obviously, being local. But I've gotten the feeling he's not the player he used to be, and also he's played a lot of 3-4 linebacker, not 4-3. So it's going to be trouble. It's going to be hard to find that, you know, three-down middle linebacker. Those guys are just rare these days. They're hard to find. The way college football is, they don't produce the type of player you need at that spot anymore. So that's something to be concerned about. The second area of linebacker I think you have to look at, and I think if you bring Jaquan Williams back, and Spencer Paysinger is a guy that can do this too if you decide to bring him back, you need a guy to cover on third down. So if you're going to have a middle linebacker that thumps on first and second down, you have to take off the field. Well, guess what? That means you need a guy in those nickel passing situations you can bring onto the field that can be that play caller, get guys lined up, cover the tight end, take a back out of the backfield, and cover him down the field. Jamie Collins is a guy for the Patriots that does that extremely well. Now, we struggled in the Super Bowl against Marshawn Lynch, granted, but over the course of the year, he's pretty good at that. So there are more guys like that in the draft that can do those types of things. You know, Shaq Thompson's one of those guys that can do that. We talked about him over the course of the last couple weeks on the show. Paul Dawson's another guy that can play that Will spot. Freelance is a little bit in coverage, and I was interested to see that he has some character issues, according to some scouts, and they're worried about him in the locker room and being a guy that can really lead in that way. So, you know, a lot of these outside linebackers now are really pass rushers because there's so many 3-4 defenses in college. You don't have many guys that go out there and cover a lot of the linebacker position. So, you know, really, these three-down cover linebackers aren't that easy to find anymore either. In free agency, I think it'll be a little bit easier to find guys that can run around and cover a little bit. But, again, you're getting more 3-4 defenses in the pros, too. So these guys are more concerned with setting the edge and rushing the quarterback than they are necessarily covering. So those are the things a linebacker I think you keep an eye on. Now, wide receiver, and I'll try to do this quickly to get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513 and hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. At wide receiver, I think it's a little interesting because you have Odell Beckham. He's your one. Randall proved he's a really good three. He can be a two if he played as well as he did the last few weeks of the year. What is Victor Cruz going to give you? Do you decide to try to bring back Gerald Jernigan again? what's your next guy? Is it Preston Parker? Marcus Harris coming off that injury? That's a decision the Giants are going to have to make. Is it Corey Washington who gives you some size? What I think the Giants can use in free agency, and one name jumped out at me right away, Jason Avant. He's a bigger wide receiver. He's a possession guy over the middle. He blocks extremely well in the running game. I think Dwayne Harris, who can also help you on special teams, is a free agent from the Cowboys. I don't like him as much as I like Avant, but I think Harris can help you in some ways too, and he can do punts for you as well. He's also a good blocker. So those are the type of guys I would look for in wide receiver to help you. Big, strong guys that can be possession receivers, and there are some guys in the draft that I think fits that as well. You know, there are some bigger guys that can do that for you. You know, do you like Devin Funchess out of Michigan? Do you project him as a tight end or wide receiver? If he's a wide receiver, guess what? He's a big possession type of wide receiver. That's what he can do. Jalen Strong is a guy that has some ability to be that type of possession receiver. He's still a little bit raw, former basketball player, but he's 6'3", 215. He can be that type of guy to be that big possession guy. So, in my opinion, that's where you look. And we can also talk about Victor Cruz if you want. At what, how good do you think Victor Cruz is going to be next year? How much can you depend on him? Now, he's rehabbing from that knee injury, that patella tendon. He hopes to be back by training camp and hopefully be able to practice and play in the preseason games and do everything he normally does. We'll see if that's the case. But that's his goal. How much can you depend on him moving forward? Let's get to the phones at 201-939-4513 and start with Colin in New Jersey. Colin, you're up first, pal. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, John?
Doing great, Colin. How are you, man?
Good. Hey, longtime listener. Typically work during the day, so I never really got to call in, but off today, so I figured I'd give you a shout.
Hey, great stuff, Colin. Appreciate you listening. What do you got for me?
Well, something this offseason I've been kind of thinking a lot about and wanted to pose to you. As you kind of been addressing a lot of the holes and things that we kind of need to address in the draft and free agency, been thinking about JPP coming back and just kind of our salary cap situation. And, you know, if we can extend him for long term, would franchise tagging him be really a wise move for the Giants with all the other needs? So, kind of wanted to pose that out to you.
Well, Colin, hang with me, and I'll answer this very quickly first. I think you franchise him to create more leverage to lock him up long term. I don't think the goal here is to franchise him just to have him for a year, then you go through this whole process again next year. I think you franchise him so that then will prevent other teams who don't want to give up draft picks to sign him from giving him a big offer sheet, which therefore makes it more likely that Pierre Paul would sign here long term. So I think you use that franchise tag as a last resort. If you have to play him on 1 year on it, that's great. It's a lot of money. But I think you use it as leverage to try to come up with a long-term deal to keep me here for a long time.
Yeah, okay. You know, then I had one last question I wanted to get your thought on. The with kind of, you know, each year the salary cap for each team has kind of been going up. It seems strange to me that some teams have, you know, $50 million in cap space, and then, you know, other teams are you know, in the negative. I just kind of didn't quite understand why some teams year after year have so much space and then other teams don't. So I just kind of wanted to hear your thought on that, and then I'll hang up. And again, thank you for the show. I enjoy it. I enjoy listening to you. So
thank you, Colin. I appreciate it, man.
All right.
You know, it all depends on the strategy teams take. I mean, a lot of it has to do with economics, quite frankly. Some teams don't want to, you know, spend a lot of money because they don't think they're ready to win. So they don't want to throw money away in salary. They'd rather, you know, save $40, $50 million a year, you know, get a higher draft pick. And then when they get a chance to compete, that's when you start spending more to get up to the cap number. Then you have other teams who, for lack of a better term, throw more caution to the wind. And they say, you know what? We have our star quarterback right now. We're trying to put a team together around him in this small window to try to win a championship. So we're going to go all out. We're going to throw money around. We'll back guaranteed money up in these contracts down the road. So we get under the cap this year, and we're going to be 15 over, 10 over the following couple years. And then you have to figure it out from there. So I think you'll see the better teams usually at the cap or over the cap. the teams that are struggling are way under, like the Raiders and the Jaguars. I think the Browns are still way under the cap, where they don't want to go out and spend all this money in free agency until they have that basis and core that they think is good enough to win. Then they'll supplement it using that money or use that money to keep those younger players there long term. Now, the worst case scenario is that your team's bad and you're over the cap. There are unfortunately some teams in that situation. I think the Falcons last year were an example of a team that had a lot of cap problems but didn't win a lot of games. That's obviously the worst place you want to be. But remember, there are rules now in the CBA where teams have to be at a certain percentage at the cap averaged over a few years, right? So these teams are going to have to spend to get to a certain level at some point. So you can't be a team that's terrible and just stay $50 million under for years and years and years. That's against the rules. You're not going to be allowed to do that. You're going to pay penalties. So these teams eventually will have to make some moves, be active, and spend that money so they meet those CBA regulations. That's really layman's what the rule is. I mean, it's complicated, trust me. But that's why you'll see some teams way under and some teams at or over the cap. 201-939-4513. Charlie's up in Portland, Maine. What's going on, Chuckles?
Hey, John. Getting ready for 2 feet of snow.
Oh, man. Dude, you guys can't catch a break up down. Charlie, make sure now. There was a big report on the news this morning. Make sure you get that snow off your roof because those roofs can collapse and that can get very dangerous.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm going to do today. But we've already done that, but we're going to do it again because another 2 feet's going to go on top
of it. It's scary, man. It's scary.
Yeah, it's crazy. But anyway, one more week. After next week's supposed to be cold, then it's supposed to warm up. So just get through one more week of February. We'll be good.
Yeah, well, no, you know what? I haven't looked yet, but I'm hoping that it's not going to be quite as bad in Indianapolis as it is here. But I have not looked
yet.
No,
I don't think so. You got a dome anyway, so that's good.
And you know what? The best part, too, is based on the hotel we're staying at, the Marriott downtown, you can actually walk through walkways in the convention center to get to the stadium, and you really don't have to go outdoors much, which is really
a good thing.
Yeah, it's great.
That's like Montreal. The whole city's like that.
Yeah, and Minneapolis, too, is the same way.
Yeah, smart.
Yeah.
Hey, you didn't mention inside linebacker. This is a guy in free agency. I've been kind of focusing on free agency.
Yeah.
The guy we should go after, and I mentioned it before, was Rolando McClain from Dallas.
I mentioned him, Charlie. I said he played. He was a three down. He was actually one of the few guys that I mentioned that was a three down middle linebacker for Dallas last year. Now, here's the thing, and I think there are some red flags with him. Look, he played well. He had two concussions late in the year, which scares me right away. And he's also a guy that didn't play that well in Oakland. He was out of football for a year. So how much do you want to commit to a guy for just having one really good year? So I think there are some things to worry about, but he does fit that profile that I'm looking for, that three-down middle linebacker that can do it all.
All right. And then another guy is Custis Spikes. Brandon Spikes, and then also there's a guy who's a restricted free agent from Denver, and Brandon Marshall. So, he's available if you match the how does the restriction go? It's like you match their price, and then there's a draft pick you have to give away.
The way restricted free agency works is that teams will put a specific tender on the player. So you could put a first-round tender, second-round tender, and, that basically would be a one-year deal worth X millions of dollars. So if another team comes in and beats that offer, and let's say it's a first-round tender, you lose your first-round pick. If it's a second-round tender, you would then lose your second-round pick. So if the Broncos want to keep them, you know what? They're going to be able to keep them. But remember this, too. Who are two players the Broncos have as free agents this year? Demaryius Thomas and Julius Thomas. They have a lot of money under the cap, but they're not going to be able to sign everyone.
Right. So, he's a good player. He played pretty well for Denver, so I would take a look at him as a middle inside linebacker. So I would, I would really go after McClain. I didn't know he had two concussions. I thought he only had one.
Well, he had one. He tried to come back, and then he left the following game with another head injury. So I'm not sure if it was a separate incident or maybe he never actually got back from the first one. But he did have one, tried to come back, and then he had to leave the following week in the playoff game, actually, against Detroit, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So, take that for what it is.
Yeah, and wide receiver, there is a wide receiver out of the University of Maine. His name is DeMar Altman or yeah, it's Altman, I believe. Anyway, he's 5'11", 195 pounds. He's a deep threat, but he's also a kick returner,
okay,
which is good. So, I mean, he's a guy that could be a free agent pickup at the end or late round, seventh round or at whatever, but he's really fast. His best time was 4.36.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's also been timed. His worst time was 4.45 or something, so he's probably in between.
Yeah.
But he's a fast guy. He's got good hands, supposedly, but he is a kick returner, so that's something we could use.
Hey, you know, Charlie, and I wanted to ask you about one other thing. You mentioned wide receivers. How much? What are your expectations, and what do you think about Cruz coming back this year? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think he's going to be fine. If they manage him, and you know, he doesn't, you know. In you know, summer camps, they just let him sit for a while, don't rush him back, you know, put him in, you know, if he's ready, the last preseason game or the last two preseason games.
Yeah.
And take him slowly. I think he's going to be fine. I really do, because what I've been reading about it and what he's been saying, I've been kind of, he's been around a lot talking, so I've been listening to him, and he says he's ahead of schedule, he's feeling really good. You know, he feels, you know, he's going to be ready. So we'll see. But I think, you know, Cruz will, you know, being a slot receiver, he might, you know, at first he might not be the dynamic Cruz that we knew, but he's, you know, the guy can get open, you know.
Yeah.
And, he, you know, he might not be going for the long bomb touchdowns and, you know, faking out five guys and going to the end zone. But he's going to be fine. I really think he's going to be fine.
Thank you, Charlie.
All right, John.
Take it easy, my friend. 201-939-4513. Survive the snow, Charlie. Be safe. Seriously, be safe up there with you and your family. And, boy, winter wonderland up there in Maine. Let's go to Len in Maryland. Len, I haven't heard from you in a couple weeks. What's going on, pal?
It hasn't been a good month, John. We're barely hanging in there with some family issues.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, Len. Well, best
you know,
of luck. Thoughts and prayers are with you.
Everybody goes through it.
Mm-hmm.
One of those things. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I wish we were talking about a 10-6 team instead of a 6-10
yeah,
team.
So do we.
You know, some of the names you're throwing around, you know, Jaquan and Paysinger and so forth, and I mean they're the guys we got the 6-10 with. But just to try to make a point, and I guess it's one that I've been trying to make for 3 years, and I know you've been listening closely, John. You know, and let me start out this way with Charlie's points about Rolando McClain. If Dallas doesn't re-sign McClain, who plays middle linebacker for Dallas?
Well, you could put Sean
probably
Lee back there.
Probably Sean Lee,
yeah.
Huh?
Well, of course, so if he's healthy, which with Sean Lee.
Yeah, yeah, they would hope, yeah.
Yeah, it's like John Beeson,
who knows?
There's a good
move. If there's a good possibility, if they don't believe that Sean Lee can play, that they might try to re-sign McClain to McClain. But let's assume for the moment, and I hope this is true, because Lee's a fine football player, and he's always good to watch on a football field. Let's assume he's there, and here's Rolando McClain. What we're saying is Dallas picked Lee over McClain.
Why would we sign
McClain?
Well, I'm not sure if you pick Lee over McClain, Len. I think it's maybe they picked Dez Bryant over McClain. Maybe they picked DeMarco Murray over McClain. You know,
okay,
they have other needs, and they only have X number of dollars. So I'm sure they'd like to bring back all three of those players if they could.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
sometimes
yeah.
you
all
have
right,
to
I
make
understand.
Decisions.
I understand what you're saying, but I guess the point I'm trying to make is an old one, John, but an important one. I'm ready to go forward with my guys. I don't want free agent starters who are most likely people who were not signed by the other team.
Yeah, but Len, sometimes though, like sometimes you have an example, and I'll use the Giants as a perfect example. You know, Linval Joseph wasn't somebody the Giants didn't want. He was somebody that they couldn't fit into their budget, but they thought he was a very good player. So if you can find a guy like that, that another team likes, would want to have back, but it just doesn't fit in their budget, that's a guy that can help your team. Now, these guys that teams just discard and say, you know what, I'm not even going to waste a minimum or minimal contract on this guy. Yeah, those guys aren't going to help you win Super Bowls. But a guy like Joseph, and I think McClain, frankly, could fit into that category, is a guy that can help you, is in his prime, and just isn't going back to his former team because of a budget issue, not because of a performance issue.
Okay, John, I'm not being critical now of that assessment. It is indeed a very good one. I followed everything that you said. But, you know, the bottom line is somebody picks a middle linebacker over McClain. And I guess my point is, and, you know, we can go through the offensive tackles at Dallas, Parnell and Free. They're going to have to make a choice.
Yep.
Well, maybe they're not going to sign either one and go with another draft choice, or go with someone who's been a backup on their team that they're going to stick in and right tackle. The point I'm trying to make is if the team that's ahead of us in the division, well ahead of us in the division, is not signing these guys, how do we think we're going to beat those teams with those guys? I mean, John, we've got to get to the point where if we're going to go into free agency, what we're doing is we're filling in. I know your favorite line was, you know, we're not in Neiman Markets. We're really in Walmart, and we're filling in behind the starters. Let's get our own guys. Let's develop our own guys. If it takes 2 years, two drafts, and let's put the pressure on the scouts. I mean, Mr. Mara said this is the best scouting staff in the league, or as good as anybody else's, I think he said 2 years ago. Come on, give us another good draft. And let's, you know, it's not just one player. We're going to get a good player at 9. John.
Of course, you have to.
We're going to get a terrific player at 9. Right? But we got to hit on 40. We got to hit on 72. We got to hit on that fourth round draft choice, and we got to get contributors down the line, including some, undrafted free agents. Let's get some kids in here who are healthy, who don't have the question marks behind them, and let these coaches work with these guys and see what we can get out of see what we can get out of Eli. I think the offense is going to hum along. Next year, and you know we don't need a lot of stars to move forward. But geez, I don't know. We keep getting these guys from other teams, John.
No, Len, you know what? I think you're right, and I think the team does take that view, to be quite honest with you. And I think the last couple of drafts, you're seeing the beginning of the formation of that new core. And I think the old core got a little older, and that's why you had a couple of down years, right? And
yeah,
I think you're starting to see...
And we had injuries. I mean, there's no question. You look back at some of the people that we did draft. I mean, you can go back to the wide receiver, Smith. You can go back to Phillips at safety.
Terrell Thomas.
Chad Jones. I mean, you know, one after another.
David Wilson.
We've had those setbacks. David Wilson. I mean, major setback for us. I mean, I understand that. But I'm just ready to go with a bunch of young guys who are proud to pull that Giant jersey on Sundays. And, you know, let this staff work with these guys and get them ready to play. I'm not big on free agency this year, John. I want to go with our guys and put the pressure on these scouts to come up with, you know, another big-time draft. Listen, offensive line, real quick.
Yeah.
I think we got four if Schwartz is healthy. I think we need another starter. Right? That's five. Hopefully, at pick 9, we're going offensive lineman who we can plug in at left guard. I want to move Schwartz to right guard. Plug in at left guard. Leave him there. Let him play. But, you know, John, I can live with Mosley and even Dallas Reynolds as 8 and 9. But we not only need one starter, we need a 6 and 7 as well, people who we can count on to come off the bench. Maybe Brett Jones is one of those guys. I don't know. But, boy, we got to address that offensive line.
Would you
no
trust,
question about it. That's where I'm going with my first pick.
Len, would you trust J.D. Walton to be your center guard, sixth or seventh offensive lineman, swing guys backup?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. John.
Just a question.
And the same with John Jarrett. Well, one thing about Walton, he can't play for $2.2 million and be a backup. In fact, here's a good one, John. I know I'm never going to replace Jerry Reese with this one. I don't – maybe Ayers. Leave that just out here. Leave Ayers just on the outside of this statement. I don't want to pay any backup more than $1 million a year, John.
Well, I'm not sure Ayers is going to be a backup next year either. He could be a starter.
Well, I hope so. I hope that's – well, you know, Ayers, if he's not the starter, if it's Moore and, JPP, That's fine, but he may be the only guy that I'd pay more than.
Yeah, Len, I would also say this too. Len, I would say this too. You also have to pay your third cornerback more than $1 million because he's not really a bench guy. He's kind of right now your third cornerback's basically a starter. So if you want to go out there and pay your nickelback,
who did you say, John? I missed the name. I'm sorry.
No, you know, I didn't give a name. I just said whoever your third corner is going to be. That's a guy you're going to have to pay more than $1 million too.
Listen, I'd pay $1 million to the guy. God, I can't pull back his name.
Walter Thurmond.
Yeah, Thurmond. Okay, that's the guy. That's the guy. I'm with you, John, on that one. But, God, Walton, you know, you hate to be critical of these guys because they've got more athletic ability in their pinky than I've got in my whole body.
Of course.
And here I am being critical of the way they play the game. And they gave us their all. But
yeah, you're a fan, though, Len. That's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want, you know, it's nah. Richburg, the center. We got to get another left guard. Move Schwartz to right guard. Let's hope he stays healthy and go forward. I wouldn't even bring Jerry. Listen, I'm not a big starter moving to backup guy.
Okay.
It doesn't work in business, Sean. You know, if suddenly they said to you, look, you can play Paul Dottino's role, but we want Paul as the anchor in that chair. Come on. I mean, what kind of motivation is that for you?
I think that's fair. Len, I hear you. Thanks for the call, buddy. Great to hear from you.
Take care.
Thank you, Len. 201-939-4513. But if, you know, that did happen after I take Dottino into the corner and rough him up a little bit, I think, you know, you do the best you can in the role you get put in. And I think that's kind of how you have to move forward as a professional. You don't have a bunch of a choice. Now, at that point, you might start looking elsewhere for another job, but as long as you're there and you're getting a check, you know, as a professional, you got to do what you got to do. I want to go to Danny in Mount Sinai next on line 4. Danny, what's going on, pal?
Yeah. Hi, John. How you doing?
Hi, Danny. Thanks for holding. What's going on, pal?
Oh, that's okay. A couple of points.
Sure.
One on the middle linebacker, one on Brett Jones.
Sure.
But first, I want to agree with Len about let's play our own players, our own young players, guys that are going to, you know, they're flying around. Instead of bringing in, you know, the Mike Pattersons, the 30-year-old vets on one-, two-year contracts to just kind of, you know, hold the fort, take up space, guys. But, you know, as fans, we would all rather see our young players out there developing. And if they don't develop, then we move on to another young player.
No, Danny, I think that's fair. But I do think there's value in certain situations to have that one veteran guy that can come off the bench, play multiple positions, and be a reliable guy that's not going to kill you if one of your starters gets hurt. I do think there is value in having guys like that, especially, as Len mentioned, as your 6th and 7th offensive lineman, where you had Kevin Booth here, and you could slide him in at either guard or center, and you're like, wow, you know what? He might not be an all-pro, but he's also not killing us.
Right. Well, I mean, that's different, too, because you don't want – you got to protect Eli. So that's a different case. You don't want to put a young guy in there who's
going
to get Eli killed.
Right, 100%.
So, but the couple of main points that I called on. First, about the middle linebacker in the draft.
Sure.
I absolutely would love to get one, you know, second, third round, a stud. And if he can't play on third down, but he's a stud on first and second down, he's going to get us to third down. If he comes off the field, so what? There's so much situational football anyway, it doesn't matter. Do you need a middle linebacker on the field on third and 9?
No.
Third and 12?
You don't.
No, you don't.
You don't.
You don't need him on the field anyway.
No. You know, you're right. And you know what? If you're using a third-round pick on a guy, and, you know, I think the second-round pick might be a little bit early for a part-time player like that, but if you look at it in round 3 and you get me a middle linebacker that's going to be very good on first and second down against the run, sign me up, put me down,
right.
I'm all in.
Even, you know what, I would even take one in the second round. I mean, there are going to be a couple of guys there. I mean, if they can, you know, if they can solidify the run defense – it's worth it if they're only a two-down player. I mean, look at all the situational defensive ends that we have. That we, you know, we love having more of them. They're only playing one or two downs. It's fine. It worked. I mean, if everything's flowing well and you're getting to third and long, that's great.
Danny, I think that's fair. I don't disagree. I think it's fair.
Okay. And then my point on the offensive lineman they just signed, Jones.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out, where – if he was in this year's draft, where would he be rated? Where would we be taking him?
Oof.
And I'm trying to think,
that's
okay,
tough.
Where is the CFL in relation to college football? Is it a mid-level? Is it like a Mountain West conference? Is it a MAC conference?
Or is it like 1AA? I mean, I think those are good questions.
You think it's that low?
No, I don't. I don't think it's that low. You know, that's a really good question. I would say he would be a 6th, 7th round type of pick. I don't know. Again, these guys upstairs, I haven't talked to them about this. Maybe they'd give a completely different answer. So I will plead ignorance before I give my opinion. But with whatever education I have on the subject, I would say he's a late day 3 pick, 6th or 7th round.
I mean, that's probably because of the CFL bias. Because then you're considering at a Division II college level.
Well, I mean, look, there are a lot of Division I offensive linemen that get picked in the 6th or 7th round.
And you know what? Just look at the facts. He's the best offensive lineman in the. I haven't seen him play. I just saw the highlight reel that you guys put up,
right.
And a few of the other websites put up. So we all saw the same 10 plays. But he is the best. He's the best that the CFL has, and he's only 23 years old.
Yep.
And if you watch the highlight reel, you got to figure that the highlight's more the rule than the exception because he's considered the best in the league.
Hey, look, I would say this, Danny. This is a very low risk with a...
Oh, it's a no risk.
So you bring him in here. He's almost like having an extra draft pick. You let him compete. If he's good enough to make the team, great, he makes the team. If he's not, you move on and you say it was worth the shot.
Right. I think it's, even if it's a low Division I level, I think it's a lot higher. I think it's they got a bonus draft pick, a lot higher than 6 or 7. I think it could be a 2 or 3, if you actually look at him, and players come out of the CFL into the NFL at high levels. Not a lot, but enough of them, and he is playing against men. So I mean, again, we're Giant fans. We're optimistic,
and that's great.
So we want to project him, maybe a little bit higher. But I think worst case scenario, I think he would be a 3rd round. I mean, Weston Richburg came out of the Mountain West.
Yeah, but keep in mind, this kid was draft eligible 2 years ago, and he didn't get picked by anybody.
Well, how many college, Canadian college football players get picked to the NFL? None. One that I can remember.
Very true.
That New Orleans took.
And Danny, you're right. There could be a chance that he was very good, deserved to get drafted, and he just wasn't seen enough, or whatever the case might be. That's very possible. I don't know the circumstances around him as a potential draftee a couple years ago. I honestly don't. So maybe you're right. But you know what? He's going to be here, and we're going to find out in a few months, and it's going to be fun.
Right. Absolutely.
Thanks, Danny.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it, my friend. 201-939-4513. Derek's in Atlanta. He's been holding the longest. Derek, thanks for waiting, buddy. What's up? Derek. Derek once. Derek twice. Derek calls back. We'll put you right back up. 201-939-4513. This is just Big in New Jersey. What's going on, Big? Hello, Big. Big going once. Big going twice. I hear something. I hear something. All right. We'll say goodbye to Big. Big, call us back. And Joe in Pennsylvania will determine whether or not we have an internal phone issue or people just aren't on the lines. Joe, let's try you next. All right, I hear Joe there. Joe.
Hello, John.
Yeah, I got you. What's going on? Who's this?
This is Big from New Jersey.
Oh, I guess we got the lines messed up. All right, Big, what's going on? How are you?
What's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing great, Big. What's going on? What do you got?
Now, listen, I just want to piggyback off the last two callers about free agency.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Now, listen, you gotta pick up serviceable free agents. Like, we had Sean O'Hara, Plaxico Burress, Kareem McKenzie. You can get needs on your team from free agency. You have to at least get 2 or 3 or 4 free agents.
Big, you're absolutely right.
Of course, you want to build through the draft, but there are serviceable free agents out there that just, like you said, the teams can't pay them anymore their salaries.
Yeah, Big, so, and you're right. And you know what?
Big, you want to build your young team up, build through the draft, but I mean, you got to grab free agents that can help your team right away. Especially this is like a win now mode for us right now.
Right, Big, you're absolutely right. And all those guys you mentioned were in their prime years in their late 20s when the Giants signed them. O'Hara, McKenzie, Burris. They were all younger guys that were still in the midst of their best part of their career. Like, Anshar Roll is one of those guys, too. Chris Canty was one of those guys. Michael Boley was one of those guys. All those guys can help you right away.
Like, Antonio Pierce, how big he helped us. Like, now after he was a late-round pick from the Redskins, and he came, and, of course, he solidified our middle linebacker spot. So, of course, you have to grab free agents. And that's why I just was piggybacking off there the last two callers. But it's a couple of free agents that I think that the Giants should go after. Like, we have to go after Orlando Franklin. But we can solidify him at left guard. And we can get, do you know Derek Morgan from Tennessee? He was a draft pick right after JPP. He's a free agent. Mm-hmm. I like Hakeem Ayers from, he was on Tennessee. He was a second round pick, and then he went to New England.
Yeah.
Got traded there.
He got traded.
I think he'd be a real good linebacker for us on the outside. What do you think about those free agents?
Well, you know what? I like Hakeem Ayers in the fact that he meets that profile where he's a younger guy. I worry about the fact that then one team already kind of gave up on him and traded him. I think he's a guy you look at. You see where he can fit in. Make sure he doesn't duplicate the skill set of a guy like Devon Kennard, who you want on the field. I'll have to do a little bit more work on Ayers, to be honest with you. But the guy you play across from Kennard has to be an athletic guy that can cover. Because Kennard's going to be that guy that can set the edge, blitz, be good against the run. I need my other outside linebacker, to be somebody that can get on the tight end, can cover, can get running backs out of the backfield and do those sorts of things.
You know who Hakeem Ayers reminds me of? You remember Carlos Emmons? Well, in his earlier days, not when he played for us. But Carlos, he reminds me of Carlos Emmons when he was with the Philadelphia Eagles. That's who he reminds me of. He's like a bigger linebacker, physical. That's who he reminds me of. That's why I think he'd be a good fit in Spagnuolo's. In our system with Spagnuolo, that's why his name rings a bell. And Derek Morgan, I think they had him at outside linebacker for Tennessee.
Yeah.
I mean for Tennessee they had him because they went to a 3-4 of course, but I think he'd be a good like depth player for us. I like Derek Morgan. I think he's like ascending, to be all honest with you, me personally.
Well, first of all, I'm very happy that you specified Carlos Emmons when he was on the Eagles and not when he was on the Giants. That was very well done.
Too old.
Yeah, no question. And Derek Morgan, the thing I did, he fits the profile. He's 26. When he was playing with the Titans and he was playing the position he's used to playing, he had 6.5 sacks and 6 sacks, and then he had 6.5 sacks last year. So he's a guy, he was a first-round pick, like you mentioned, draft 16th overall in 2010. He's 6'3", 260. That's a good size for a 4-3 defensive end. I think he's a guy that could play a role if you want to add somebody else into that mix. Now, the Giants might think they have enough big with JPP if they bring him back, Robert Ayers, and DeMontre Moore. Do you want to try to fit another guy into there that could take snaps away from one of those three? I'm not sure. That's a decision they're going to have to make.
You're right. We shouldn't do that because I like the pieces we have right now. To be all honest with you, at defensive end, but I wouldn't touch Rolando McClain with a 10-foot pole. To be all honest with you,
why is that?
He quit on two teams. He retired twice.
Hey,
why,
look.
Why did he retire? Why did he retire from the Raiders and the Ravens? Why would you? I mean, he's going to get a big payday. I'm telling you, and he's not going to perform. He retired twice in 2 years.
Hey, look, Big. Here's how I look at it with McClain. I think he's almost more valuable to Dallas than he is to other teams. Because that he's happy there. It already worked there for a year. He likes Jason Garrett. Like you said, who's to say he winds up in a new place and he doesn't like it there? And then all of a sudden he goes back into some old habits. There is a very big risk going after somebody like that, even though he's very talented and has nothing to do with his on-the-field stuff. But you're right. I mean, that other stuff still has to be a red flag for you. I mean, I don't see how it isn't.
It's a big red flag. I wouldn't touch McClain for now. I wanted him coming out of the draft, but now since he quit on two teams, I wouldn't take him. He's going to get a big payday, and he's going to probably quit again. I'm telling you.
Thank you, Big.
He's perfect for Dallas, but you're welcome.
Hey, appreciate it, my friend. Sorry for cutting you off there. I thought you were wrapping up. My bad, Big. Thanks for calling. Call in anytime again. We appreciate it. 201-939-4513. We got 13 minutes. I want to get in our final two calls. Derek in Atlanta is back. Derek, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, John?
Doing great, Derek. How are you?
I'm good. So, as I see it, we need to fill 6 holes. Running back, offensive lineman, defensive lineman, tight end, linebacker, and safety.
I would say running back is the smallest hole because I don't think you need a starter at that position. I think you need somebody to support the other two guys, but I don't think you need a starter. You can bring a like, and I know Shakes has brought this up a lot, and I happen to agree with him on this particular subject. If you can bring in that third down scat back that can maybe help you in the return game, be a receiver out of the backfield now and then, I think that's what you do at running back. I don't think you necessarily need a starter that's even going to carry it 10 or 15 times a game.
Right. So I know the Giants typically don't like going into the draft with holes.
Right.
It's kind of hard to fill 5 and 6 holes in free agency
that's
if they're not going to spend any money. So which positions do you think that they could fill in free agency and say we can look for the other positions in the draft?
That's a really good question. And that's kind of what I've been trying to get to the last couple of days. And I think it's very hard to judge. I would say this. I think there are enough smallish scat back type of running backs where you could probably find one of those in the draft. But you also probably find one of those pretty cheap in free agency too. I think you probably want to bring in a veteran tight end in free agency. Maybe you're bringing back Daniel Fells. But I think you should bring in a veteran two-way tight end. Even if it's like a Kellen Davis type of player, like they had last year and they decided to let him go, I would like to bring in somebody like that in free agency just in case. Because in the draft, the tight end position can be a little give and take. And you're not sure exactly what you're getting sometimes. You have to bring in a safety before you get to the draft, Derek. I don't think you have any choice based on the number of guys you have there on the roster, whether it's bringing back Roll or somebody different. I think you have to bring in a safety in free agency before you get to the draft. Defensive line, I don't think it's essential to bring in a defensive end. I think if you want to wait and draft one, I think that's okay. At defensive tackle, you're looking at Hankins and Bromley, and then obviously the veterans, Cullen Jenkins, who's under contract one more year, and then you got Kuhn and Patterson. Let me put it this way. I think the positions you have to address in free agency are safety. I think you have to address linebacker in some way, shape, or form in free agency. And I would like to address the offensive line in some way, shape, or form in free agency as well. I think if you go into the draft as is, give or take, at a running back and defensive line, I think you can get away with it.
Well, considering that we haven't stopped the run and that's a big need, I think that in free agency, we have to get an offensive line, a tackle or guard.
Okay.
We have to get a defensive tackle, and we have to get a safety.
Yeah, Derek, I agree.
Have got to be done in free agency.
Yeah, Derek, you know what? I'll say this. If you don't bring in a defensive tackle, and I agree, I think defensive end you can wait. I think defensive tackle is more of a 50-50 type of proposition. But if you don't bring in a DT in free agency, I think you're putting yourself into a box a little bit in the draft where you're going to have to use one of those first two picks on a defensive tackle one way or the other.
You have to. And
right.
Then before I leave, I just want to know, pick two or three names that hasn't been a regular down contributor that have to be a regular down contributor next year.
That I think has the ability to be a regular down contributor?
Yeah, that hasn't been.
That hasn't been. That's a good question. I like Derek. You've had some nice questions and things to think about today. I think Jay Bromley has a good chance to be a regular contributor. If given the opportunity, he has the size to do it. Devon Kennard obviously was given the opportunity last year, so I'm not going to count him.
What about Nat Burhe?
You know
or
what?
Cooper Taylor.
Nat Burhe was the next guy on my list I was going to address. Here's the thing about Nat Burhe. Here's the good. I think he's an excellent guy. I think he's a good character guy. He works hard, and he's smart, and he gets it. So all that's good. Here's the thing about Burhe. He's not the biggest guy in the world. And his strength in college was playing close to the line of scrimmage. So I need to see, and frankly, Derek, it's going to be hard to see this in training camp because you're not hitting. So I need to see that physically he can handle the rigors of that position playing in the box where he was good in college, and I have to see if he's learned enough and become good enough to play that center field role. I think he's going to do everything he can to do it, but he needs to show me physically, and I think he needs to show the team here and the coaching staff and then the front office that he can do that before they give him that starting role. I think he'll be given the opportunity. I'm just not sure he's quite good enough to earn it. I think he's got a shot, but I'm not sure yet. For me, the jury's out.
I want to see him. I want to see him win that job. And you know what? When I saw him in college, the highlights and everything that I saw of him, the guy is a hitter.
Oh, he is.
Now you're saying a smaller guy, throwing everybody around at these other big people and running backs for 16 games will take a lot. But I'd like to see if he can do that this year and kind of take some pressure off having to find multiple safeties.
Yeah, because Derek, I'm just saying, 201 pounds for a safety at 5'10". That's not ideal size. You want your safety to be somewhere between 210 and 220, so he's a little bit light. But again, he's compact, and we have had smaller safeties at that size succeed in the league. So it's not a deal breaker, but again, I want to see it before I tell you that I really believe he can do it. You know what I mean?
Yep. All right, John. I'll talk to you later.
Hey, great stuff, Derek. Thanks for the call, man. Very good, thoughtful points out of Derek today. We got 7 minutes. We got two calls. Let's get him in. Joe in Pennsylvania has been waiting the longest. Joe, go ahead, pal.
Hi, John there. I just want to say at first I have to commend Reese and them for the last two drafts and last year in free agency. When you look what they brought in, four starters in our running back, in Cromartie, in who's the offensive lineman that was hurt?
Jeff Schwartz.
Schwartz, and then you said it too.
And Robert Ayers.
Pardon?
And Robert Ayers. Don't forget him. He was very good before he got hurt.
Then. And plus, you said the third corner who were bringing back again that got hurt.
Well, we don't know if the Giants are bringing Walter Thurman back yet.
Well,
that's something they'll decide.
That's five starters, really.
Yeah.
Plus, you look at who was it, Holiday they brought, but he got hurt. They did wonderful last year, really. Them guys are all solid.
Hey, look, Joe, here's the bottom line. Joe, here's the bottom line. And John Mara said this in his postseason press conference. And we've talked about it here before in the past. A lot of the callers have brought it up. For a couple years, you didn't get quite the number of players out of the draft you would have liked. But the last 2 years, the drafts have been much better. Last year, you got four or five guys contributing. The year before, you had three or four. And guys are still getting better and improving. And as those guys get better and improve, they're going to be the foundation of this team. And Jerry Reese did a fantastic job restocking this roster the last couple years with younger players, and I think you're going to really start seeing the results of that this season moving forward. And like you said, last year, he brought in a lot of those types of players in free agency that we talked about earlier in the show, the guys that are in their prime, and they still have a lot of good years left, and you're getting them when they're at their best. And I think Jerry Reese did a great job bringing those types of guys in last year.
Yeah, I look like a guy like Robinson, too, on tight end. He could really turn it around. He has all the tools. He really can. He could be something special, even better than Danelle there.
Well, Joe, let me just say this, though. For Adrian Robinson, he has entered into the have to see it before I start saying that he's going to be a guy that can do this, this, and that. He's been in the league a while now. Is at the point now where it's like, all right, it's time to see some production.
I understand that, but we're light years compared to where we were last year where we had to bring in a whole new offensive line,
no question.
Whole new system, all new running backs. Everybody's played now. Who's his safety from Baltimore, John, there that's a free agent? Spags should know him, ain't?
Yeah, you know what? The name's on the tip of my tongue. I can't remember the guy's name.
Is he a young guy?
Stand by. Oh, yeah, you mean Darian Stewart? Is that who you're talking about?
I know there's a safety there, and I thought he'd know it, too. I was hoping he's a young guy and bring him in and keep roll yet, and if we get any, you know what I mean, maybe we'll be set there. I'm not sure, but I was hoping, too. Spag's been around, and I was thinking that maybe he'd get lure somebody over here with the Giants yet, a linebacker or a safety, so... That's about all, John.
I appreciate you. Let me see if I can bring up that, and thanks for the call. Let me see if I can bring that up for you real quick here before I say goodbye for the show. I want to bring up that free agent list for you. And Stewart's not the guy. It's, I'm trying to remember the damn kid's name. Let me see. Here we go. AFC North Baltimore. There we go. Well, Will Hill obviously is a guy, but he's restricted. But, yeah, I guess it is Darian Stewart, the strong safety. And then Jeremy Miles, another safety they have as a free agent. Yeah, so Spags would be more familiar with them. I must be honest, I have not done a lot of work on either of those guys yet. I haven't seen the Ravens a lot the last couple of years. Obviously, doing all the Giant games, we haven't seen Baltimore in quite a while. So I got to be honest with you, I don't have a ton on either of those two guys. I'll do some work on them, and Joe, I'll have something for you next week after the Combine. And again, I'm really going to – I spent the last week and a half doing a lot of draft stuff, a lot of draft stuff. I mean, I got my notes and notes and notes here, so I was ready for the Combine. Once the Combine's over, and I'll even do it on the flight on the way home, and I'll take my President's Day, and I'll use that for that too. Free agency will be where we focus then for the last 2 weeks before we get to that, the second week of March. Final call of the show is Rolando in New York. Rolando, it was funny, on Twitter, after your call the other day, there were hashtags of Johnny Boy and John John all over the place. People found your call very amusing.
Yo, bro, that's how I feel about you, homie. That's just the way I feel.
I appreciate it, Rolando. What's going on today? What do you got?
What's up, kid? Mostly the idea of wanting to sign a safety. I think of all the positions of need, I think safety is the one that I most concerned, and I like to throw a name out, Raheem Moore from Denver. He had a leg injury, but he recovered and he played pretty well. I would like our medical staff to take a look at him, and he's a young man that looking, you know, moving forward, he'll be a great contributor. One of the other things, Johnny Boy, I think is the idea of we were talking about the draft. And we were talking about the point from 9 to 12. It's 150 points, and that's a fifth-round draft pick. But I took your consideration, and I would wait. I don't wanna give up my spot for 9. I think I also want an elite player, whether it's defense or offense, whatever it is. One of the things that go by, John, that I know we enjoy seeing and saying a lot is about the Dallas Cowboys offensive line and, you know, using them as an example in terms of what to do and to building a team. But the team that made a big impression on me was the Baltimore Ravens. And the way they started two rookies on their offensive line and how they put them, how they positioned them among the veterans. And if our coaching staff believes that Pugh can move to guard, I would be looking to put a rookie out there at tackle where Pugh can help the rookie, you know, according to who he's playing against, and also having Richburn, the young man, at center where he's going to be, you know, covered by two veterans, where moving forward we'll solidify our offensive line from here to, you know, for 5 years.
I have no problem with that.
I didn't get the name that Chucky talked about, you know, the wide receiver. I like his stats, 5'11", 195, 4'3". I like, thanks to Shakes for the two tight ends. I like to throw out the name of Cedric Thorne. Defensive tackle from Philadelphia, a run stopper that might not cost a lot of money. And if we needed a defensive tackle as a pass rusher, I would like to throw the guy from Chicago Bears, defensive tackle from them.
Yeah, Pia.
Yeah,
you know what? It's funny. Someone actually tweeted me about that, and he's a very good player. I think he'd be a great fit. But he seems like a John Fox type of player to me. And as a defensive guy who wants to build that defense up, I can't imagine he's going to let a good defensive tackle like that go. Now, I don't know what their salary cap situation's like. You know, Brandon Marshall, they might have to let him go. We'll see what happens. But that's a guy that I like, but I'm not sure the Bears are going to want to let him walk away.
There's a guy that I've been looking at, Johnny, and he's not a great pass rusher, but he has all the variables that we want as a defensive tackle. His name is Joey. I can't even pronounce his name, his last name. And it's MBA, not NBA, M like a mother, BA from Houston. And he fits all the stats. He's not a pass rusher, but he's a real stout run stopper that really hits the point of attack. He's built like a defensive tackle from the waist down, tree trunks for legs, you know, all the good stuff somewhere in the fourth to fifth round.
Yeah, right now he's projected as about a fourth round pick, and you're right. He's a guy, he didn't have a lot of production in college, but he has all the size and the characteristics that you want out of a DT. So I think that is a potential mid-round pick.
Yeah, and talking about veterans, it's time for Kimonuka to go. We need his money. It's time for Patterson to leave. He's non-productive. I will keep Jenkins for the leadership, and which we were speaking once before. I happen to agree with Shakes in terms of his days, past them. But for a guy for the rotation and to set the table for the other young man to lead the pack, I don't have a problem with that. As of my fourth, Marcus Kuhn, more or less, you know, he's going to have to compete. And let's just say that because of his leg injury that he had 2 years ago, that he wasn't fully recovered. And that's about all I got, Johnny boy. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Rolando. Appreciate it, man. Have a good one. And my man, Easy_BKNY, reminds me of Kerry Wynn, too, is a guy that plays defensive end and is part of that rotation, which maybe defensive end, not as much of a need, and I keep forgetting about Kerry Wynn, but he's a guy that's there too. I mentioned the last couple shows, I forgot today. So another guy that makes that defensive position very full. I've tried to reply to some of your tweets during Rolando's last call. I think he made some great points. Thanks for joining us. Monday is President's Day, so the office is closed. We give people the day off, so we'll enjoy that as well. We'll be with you on Tuesday. I'm going to try to figure out a way to do a show on Wednesday, but we're going to be traveling with a lot of our gear out to Indianapolis to do the show live from there on Thursday and Friday. I already have some very good guest lines up. I think you'll be very impressed. So we'll see about Wednesday. We'll try to get it done, but me and Lance will be here with you next Tuesday. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you on Tuesday on Giants.com. Survive the cold this weekend. Be safe, everybody. Have a fantastic weekend.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through on the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
What an end zone punt. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.